from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Yahoo told employees last week that they may no longer work from home or other remote locations. The announcement came as a surprise in an industry known for non-traditional work arrangements and generous employee perks. According to the U.S. Census, the number of people working from home has increased steadily, with almost 10% of the workforce working from home at least one day a week. We'll discuss flexible work programs. Do they increase or hurt productivity? Join us for after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's forum program. Beginning in June, all employees of Yahoo who work remotely will need to relocate to the Yahoo campus. And we want to discuss the decision in this forum hour, but also talk about telecommuting. Does it help or hurt productivity, innovation? And what about corporate or business citizenship and the effect on the carbon footprint? We're going to take all that up and more in this hour. But first, I want to welcome back Kara Swisher, co-executive editor of All Things Digital. It's a website devoted to news, analysis, and opinion on technology, the Internet, and media, owned by Dow Jones, a publisher of The Wall Street Journal. And she's with us this morning from Long Beach. And welcome, Kara.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good.
Good. Let's talk about what we know at this point. I know a memo came out from Human Relations from Jackie Reaser said this is all about speed.
Well, it didn't come out. I got it.
You got it.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
So, I mean, she said in the memo she was concerned about speed and quality, but there's been a lot of speculation that what this is really about is trying to transfer Google culture to Yahoo.
Yes, exactly. Except it's not the case because Google allows work from home. So it didn't say Google culture at any place in the memo, but that's not Google culture. Google culture allows work from home.
Well, except that Google culture has everybody sort of there in the on the campus.
And on the Googleplex,
everything to keep them there, from dry cleaning to dog sitting.
Sure,
and
but that's different than forcing banning it completely. I mean, there's two different things. Google encourages it by making a fantastic place to work. And creating products that people are excited to work on. And that's a different thing than banning it altogether. So I think it's an issue. I mean, to me, it's an issue of managing work from home. And, you know, to pillory work from home is a problem as far as I'm concerned. It's a question of managing work from home.
Well, does it suggest that managing is a problem at Yahoo? It has been,
certainly.
Yeah,
I think that's the problem. That's the issue, is she's banning it because they haven't been able to manage work from home. But, you know, IBM has 29% of its staff does work from home stuff, and they're doing just fine. Most of the companies I polled in Silicon Valley, in fact, all of them that responded to me, and there were about 10 of them, including startups, all have work-from-home policies. They're very different at each company. Twitter likes to have them more in the office, but it doesn't bar work-from-home, while other companies encourage it, like WordPress has 130 of their 150 people are working distributed in the distributed network.
Well, we'll talk about this with Joan Williams, but I'm interested in getting your take, because there seems to be a lot of concern about the fact that that Marissa Mayer was someone who broke the glass ceiling, and now, even though about as many men almost commute or telecommute as women, that this is rather ironic for a woman to be doing this.
I don't know if she broke any glass ceilings. They've been broken a long time by women, a long time ago. I think you know, she was, you know, she's considered a modern executive. I think it was a surprise. I think maybe she's frustrated. I know from sources that she was frustrated that the Yahoo parking lots were sort of slow to fill in the morning and quick to empty out in the afternoon. I think that was a big issue. I suspect she probably did some sort of card swipe analysis, and it showed that a lot of people didn't show up for work. You know, when you swipe in, I'm guessing. I don't know if they did that, but they do those things at companies. When you go to the Yahoo campus, it's, you know, when you comparatively visit Google or Twitter or Facebook, there's a real energy on those campuses, and Yahoo for many years has been rather enervated as a campus. So listen, the idea is a good one, to get people excited to be at work. The banning is, you know, and then pillaring work from home is another issue, and that's what's caused the problem. You know, it's an issue of management. Like, they have to get these people who are working from home excited also, and they can't do that, obviously, so they want them all at the office.
Well, this is going to, and probably is, in fact, I wonder to what extent you're at this point realizing from talking to people how much this has hurt morale, but a number of people are probably going to quit, and that will thin the herd. Is that perhaps behind this as
it
opposed
could be.
To firing?
I mean, people have raised that issue, is that she wants to do layoffs without doing layoffs and get rid of people. I don't know why you would pick and choose between. You know, it's like sort of just totally tarnishing work from home people. It's kind of a broad brush. You know, there's plenty of lazy people sitting at desks at Yahoo. So you know what I mean? Like, as at any company. So I think it's an issue of managing your people right and managing them and getting them excited to be at work. One of those ways is creating great products. Another one, you know, there's all kinds of ways to excite people to be at work or working together in some way. You know, and she started off with easy stuff. She gave out free food, which is already, by the way, table stakes at every other company. Yahoo was unusual that it charged for food. But, you know, she did the food and the free phones and, you know, dressed up like a Yahoo banger, purple, she dressed up in purple. That kind of stuff's fun. But this is the more serious thing is, you know, now the hard stuff is starting.
What's your sense of the morale of those who have been working from home? I mean, they can't even go to the cable guy, I understand.
Oh, no, that was a weird line. I couldn't, well, Yahoo won't call me back ever, so I don't know what to say. I tried to ask them what it meant, but it said, use your own judgment in the spirit of collaboration. And I was like, well, what does that mean? Should you wait for the cable guy or not? It was a weird example. I think it probably should have said, one thing from missing from that memo, and the woman who runs HR does not have a whole lot of HR experience that she hired. She brought in someone who has a very interesting background, but HR was not one of her things she had done before this. She did some HR, but not that much. But I think what was interesting is it didn't say, we know this is hard. There was very little of that in the. So it was not very sympathetic to the problems that it's going to create. And I think that probably is what set off a little bit of the anger towards it.
Also seemed to be poorly written, as you kind of noted.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, physically together. I don't know what that. It was you know, whatever. I'm a writer, so I was like, gosh, you could have been a little nicer and phrase it a little better, but that's different. That's just me being obnoxious.
Well, the CFO, Patrick Pichette, was in Australia, and he said telecommuting is not the best environment for ideas to flourish.
Yeah, he did, but it still doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean they don't do it at Google. They do it a lot. Actually, one of the PR people was telling me she had a staffer in Miami who works full-time, fantastic staffer, but she manages her well. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not, he was making a point, which I think Mayer was trying to make here, you know, in doing this, that it's better to be together and you create collaboration and excitement of being at work. The concept is the correct one. It's the question of whether you need to, like, get rid of, maybe they feel like this is a medicine that Yahoo needs. Maybe she feels like there's no other way of fixing it. But unfortunately, what's happened is she's created a focus on the work from home thing versus fixing what ails Yahoo. And I think that's probably, you know, this is a very hot, you know, look, Sheryl Sandberg has a book out right now called Lean In, the CEO of Facebook. There's this issue about, especially because it surrounds women, and that's, you know what I mean? Because it has to do with a lot of women are taking care of kids. And so it strikes a nerve that is very hard, that just you can't have an easy debate on the situation.
Do you know if she's built a nursery in her own
Yes,
office?
I reported that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she did. And that's another issue. You know, so I had one woman who's in the main office who I've gotten pictures of it. I mean, the door, essentially. But, you know, that's sort of creates a symbolic problem. I mean, there's nothing wrong necessarily with it. But I think if other people, they don't have on-site daycare at Yahoo, it's an issue. Because this one woman, this was saying, I think I'm going to, you know, set my kids up in the cubicle next door with my nanny and see how everybody likes it. And it was a joke, but it was like, what do you, I think what a lot of these work from home people, whether they're men or women, have to face, now what do I do? Now what I do, and now I've got to figure out. And those are very real problems. Who picks up the kids? Who meets them for school? I mean, I don't, you have an older child, but I mean, I have kids, and I think about it all the time. Like, who's going to pick up? And I'm lucky enough to have a babysitter part time, and so it's a big issue for people. It's a big time and lifestyle issue.
Kara Swisher again with us from Long Beach, co-executive editor of All Things Digital. Thank you for joining us, Kara.
No problem. Good luck.
Thank you, and let me tell you who else is joining us for the hour. Shane Max here in studio is director of products with Zarly. They're a local marketplace to go buy, like a bazaar, to buy handmade goods and services, and they're here in San Francisco, also in New York, Seattle, Kansas City, and Los Angeles, and we welcome you to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Also, I have Joan Williams here with us in studio, distinguished professor of law and founding director of the Center for Work-Life Law at the University of California, Hastings College of the Law, Work-Life Law, and is also author of Reshaping the Work-Family Debate, Why Men and Class Matter, and co-authored the study The Three Faces of Work-Family Conflict with Heather Bougie. Good morning.
Boucher,
excuse me. Welcome
Delighted
back,
to be here, Michael.
Glad to have you here. Also have Professor John Roberts with us by phone this morning. John H. Scully, Professor of Economics, Strategic Management, and International Business Emeritus, Stanford Graduate School of Business, and co-author of a recent study on telecommuting. And Professor Roberts, good to have you.
Thank you.
Your study actually did research on a call center for a travel agency, but from your perspective, not that different than Yahoo. And what'd you find in terms of the differences that are made in terms of telecommuting versus not telecommuting?
Okay, so we looked at a Chinese travel agency, and they have many thousands of call center employees who were typically pretty young, so some of the work-life balance issues aren't as much of a deal, but they were interested in letting them work from home, both to save money on rent and to cut down on the very, very high levels of turnover, of quitting that they were experiencing. But they were worried about productivity effects, and productivity hasn't really been talked about much here, because I think the Yahoo play is more of a play for collaboration to support innovation. But there are lots of jobs that can be done very well from home, but they just weren't sure about what the productivity effect would be. And so they ran a controlled experiment with some volunteers being told to go home and some volunteers who were willing to go home being stuck in the office. And when it all shook out, the people who got to work, who chose to work from home in the end after the experiment, were about a quarter more productive than the people working in the office and had half the quit rates. So it was for that kind of job, which is, you know, one that can be done alone and is fairly easily measured, it's a tremendous boon for the people who want it.
So what we've learned from this and other studies is productivity seems to go up, but innovation may suffer as a result. So getting them on the campus would presumably elevate or help innovation?
Well, it depends on who you mean by them.
The employees. But depending on what they do, I guess, yeah.
Right, exactly. I mean, this is the thing that strikes me as very ham-fisted about the Yahoo approach. There are people at Yahoo who could be collaborating and innovating and haven't been, and that collaboration and innovation is encouraged by having people there face-to-face, interacting formally and informally. But for people who are doing technical support or people who are doing some relatively straightforward programming tasks or people who are managing databases, there's not a lot of innovation potential in their jobs. And to allow those ones who want to work from home to do so makes their lives better, makes them happier, and makes them more productive. At least that's the evidence from our study. And so to tell everybody they have to come into the office strikes me as ham-fisted.
Didn't your study also show that many of them feel more lonely and isolated and also...
So, in fact, people don't know if they're going to like working from home. And many of the people who were assigned to work from home, they all originally volunteered to do so, but then they discovered that they really missed the social contact that they had when they were in the office and having lunch with friends and going out for drinks after work. And that's a factor, and... So you want to allow people to choose.
So when you say ham-fisted about Yahoo, I'm inferring from that they may lose some of their better or best people.
I'm sorry?
They may lose some of their better people as a result of this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think they'll lose people who are most productive at home. They'll lose... You know, if they're lucky, they'll be able to excite the people who have a potential to create innovation and turn it into the kind of fun hotbed of innovation that the great companies in the Valley are. But just ordering people to come into the office is not going to do that.
And again, John Roberts with us by phone is John H. Scully, Professor of Economics, Strategic Management, and International Business Emeritus, Stanford Graduate School of Business, and co-author of a recent study on telecommuting. We also And by the way, that study is on our website. Just go to kqed.org. You can find it. Shane Mack is also with us here in studio, director of products at Zarley, a local marketplace to buy handmade goods and services here in San Francisco and really all throughout the country. And you had telecommuting going on and decided it wasn't working for you.
Well, I mean, we should also look at that we're a much different situation than Yahoo. We're a 50-person company, two-year-old startup, and Yahoo's a publicly traded company with 14,000 employees. But you know, different times call for different measures. And in this position, you know, we started as five people all over the country. We were all from different cities. And Zarley spun out of a startup weekend in L.A. And we thought we could just run this company and start it remotely. And none of us would have to be in the same room. And when you're looking at critical decisions that have to be decided on a daily basis, and you're at kind of a moment where you need to have such focus on what your core mission is, that's kind of what I see right now in the Yahoo case is this is really about focus. When you talk about managing remote employees, they have to spend time figuring out how to manage remote employees rather than spending all their time figuring out, you know, they have more products than any of us can name. Like Yahoo has so many different arms and, you know, pieces and so many fires. Like who are they going to be? And I think they're at this moment in time right now when they're here to like reinvent themselves. And the focus and the rally and the change that they need, I mean, it's not going to happen from doing the same thing that's been done. And I look at this as one little thing that is just going to be probably a lot more that is coming for the change that Yahoo needs to kind of reinvent itself to move forward.
Well, admittedly, in your company, you were a smaller scale and all that. But what did you find was lacking or what was enhanced by bringing people into the business workplace as opposed to having them work at home or having a choice of working at home?
I mean, so we actually now we're a 50-person company. We believe work can happen anywhere, but collaboration happens at the office. And so we will always have an office for people to come into and work at. And we don't have a thing like Yahoo where it's a strict new policy that they have to come into the office. But we do believe that having a space where collaboration and ideas happen and teams come together and we come together to make the critical decisions, when you can look over to the person next to you and, you know, face-to-face communication, something's different and more honest about it.
In fact, it was described, I mentioned Patrick Pichette, the CFO, magic moments happen. Innovation occurs.
Because serendipity, water-cool conversations, you know, a lot of things like that.
And that has occurred in your case. I mean, it's illustrative in your case of that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we're a two-year-old company, and there's been many times that you can pinpoint to a conversation that happened that, you know, you could argue changed the direction of where we actually go and how we've evolved since we started.
And Joan Williams, let's bring you into this discussion. How much of this has to do with, I think it was your point that if it was Martin Mayer at Yahoo instead of Marissa Mayer, maybe this wouldn't be something we devote an hour of forum to. But it's a big issue. Telecommuting is a big issue, particularly in my mind, because we've talked about it in so many instances, carbon imprint. If companies are going to be corporate citizens or whatever, they want to keep people at home if they can from commuting and necessarily driving and all that sort of thing. But it's very related in your mind to gender politics, yeah?
It's really complicated. It's a very interesting issue. I mean, at one point, on one hand, I think we have to differentiate between never being in the office or five guys trying to start a company in different cities and a flat no telecommuting policy. Some collaboration, definitely you need face-to-face. On the other hand, it's often better to go and have a quiet time and work something through once the idea has been generated. There was a study by Leslie Perlow that a company instituted quiet times and productivity absolutely skyrocketed because working in the office sometimes is not as efficient working at home. And this flat policy, you keep people who don't work from work and you fire people who do work from home. So I think I don't really buy the there's an inevitable innovation loss, productivity loss. I think John's study is confirmed by many other studies that productivity can increase. But I do agree with you about I did mention the Martin Mayer point. I've been on your show, had the pleasure of being on your show now, Michael, twice talking about Marissa Mayer. And it does show that I disagree with Kara. I think the glass ceiling is alive and well. Marissa Mayer is one of the only CEOs of Fortune 500 companies who are women. And everything she does is under a microscope. There's this hyper scrutiny. And I think that's emblematic of how it's more difficult for women in these environments. So I mean, on the one hand, that's true. On the other hand, I have a nursery in the office. In a sense, she's created a telecommuting situation for herself at the same time as she said, well, we're going to eliminate telecommuting for the rest of the company. So it's a very complex and an interesting situation.
And it's the kind of situation that I think will ask our listeners to comment on, not only in terms of what's going on at Yahoo, but if you are an employee at Yahoo, and we did ask Yahoo on to the program, and they declined. But if you are doing telecommuting, or if you're a Yahoo employee, we'd certainly like to hear from you. And generally, those of you who are listening may want to simply weigh in here, and you're invited to do that. Our toll-free number is available to you. It's 866-733-6786. We do welcome your phone calls. Whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite, certainly feel free to join the conversation with any questions or comments you might have. Again, toll-free number 866-733-6786. And as those of you who listen to this program well know, there are other ways to communicate with us. You can email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments you have directly onto our website, which is kqed.org/forum, and simply click on the segment. Or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum, or you can go to our Facebook page. We certainly like to know what you think about this and what you think not only about the Yahoo decision, but as I said, I particularly also want to invite those of you who work at Yahoo, or, and you could be anonymous, or if you are listening and doing telecommuting, maybe you should be doing working if you're listening. No, but that's also an issue, Joan. I mean, there are people who are telecommuting because they're taking care of their, you know, elderly parents, or they're taking care of their children and so forth, and they don't necessarily have the kind of work focus, so the argument goes, that they could have if they were on the campus and had someone to babysit or whatever.
Again, that goes back to how you manage telecommuting. And Kara's exactly right. It's clear there was a management problem, and I assume it went beyond telecommuting. And, you know, if you mismanage employees, there are problems. That's what I hear from this. But you're right. By simply eliminating telecommuting, this is going to have a highly differential impact on employees who have to care for children or for elders. That said, a properly managed telecommuting program communicates very clearly to the employees that you still need someone taking care of dependents while you're telecommuting. But, you know, 60% of Americans say that telecommuting is part of their ideal job. So this is not just mothers of young children. This is a very broad range of Americans. 24% of Americans telecommute part of the time. And so I think the focus on caring for children is an important one. And you know what really helps is the flexibility that telecommuting gives you.
And essentially Yahoo's taking that away. I mean, that's why this ban is different.
Yeah. I mean, you eliminate commuting, which is an hour of your day. You can maybe take a break and have lunch with your kids, or very easily go to a soccer game. That's what telecommuting does. It's not a situation where you don't have childcare. The other thing I wanted to point out is this is actually not a complete ban on telecommuting, because that would be a violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Some people have a right to telecommute as a reasonable accommodation for disabilities. And again, that highlights the broad range of people who are advantaged by telecommuting.
Again, Joan Williams is Distinguished Professor of Law and Founding Director of the Center for Work-Life Law at the University of California Hastings College of the Law. When we return, we'll hear what you have to say and offer on this discussion that we're having about telecommuting, about the decision by Marissa Mayer, who is now Chief Executive of Yahoo, to, well, bring everyone back to Yahoo. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, and Yahoo Incorporated told their employees last week that they may no longer work from home or other remote locations. The announcement came as a surprise in an industry that's known for non-traditional work arrangements and generous employee perks. According to the U.S. Census, the number of people working from home has increased steadily, with almost 10% of the workforce working from home at least one day a week. We're talking about all that this hour, and looking at a couple of emails here, Marissa Mayer has come under a lot of criticism. It's interesting, the first couple of emails that have come in take a decidedly opposite point of view. Diane writes, I have had an ongoing issue with my employees who want to work from home. I want them to come in. They are much more productive and we get much more done. I agree that it is a question of managing your personnel properly. I'm not really good at this. Managing my young employees is like herding cats. They really do not understand how much more productive they are at work. They are addicted to their bathrobes and their monitors. The work gets done, but they do not manifest a lot of ambition. You had that kind of experience, Shane Mack?
Not really. I wouldn't say it's about ambition as much as it is about focus. We see a lot of work, and I believe a lot of work gets done outside of the office when you need focus time. And, you know, I agree with Joan that you have a lot of your own quiet time that helps you be more productive. But, you know, we got to look at what Yahoo is at this moment. Yahoo's a company who has lost half of its market cap in the last 5 years. Yahoo's a company that has so many products that it probably needs to focus on what it's actually going to be and become. And, you know, who knows if this is a long-term thing or not. Like, the thing you need to look at is they've had a lot of press leaks and a lot of things. Someone inside there, and you know, something that Steve Jobs is known for in 97 when he came back to Apple is there was all these press leaks and he couldn't get control of it and he had to bring it all back in, and he brought it all back in and said, no one's, you know, we're going to be here together and I have control of press and I need to figure out to get this communication right. And you know, it's something that's not talked about, but bringing that all back in and trying to build a culture and move this thing forward, there's other things here besides just productivity that I think are at play.
He brought it so back in fact, that Apple became a little bit like that office in Shanghai that's doing cyber security. No, I mean, it was completely silenced in terms of any kind of leak whatsoever. It was amazing. Anyone who's worked for a big company knows how much dead wood there is, who spend all their time hiding or tap dancing. Work at home is a perfect excuse. Trying to contact these folk, you quickly found they were frequently nowhere to be found. Chaining them to the gallery benches was the only way to assess what they really could accomplish. That's from Don in San Ramon. And Tony, who's a professor of economics, so let me go to you on this, John Roberts, and get your response to him. He writes, Miss Mayer is smart. She has essentially told the Yahoo workforce that it's time to start acting like a real company. I suspect a hidden agenda is reducing the Yahoo workforce a bit as people decide they'd rather quit than stop working from home. Brilliant move. What would you say to that, Professor Roberts?
I don't know why you want to get rid of the people who enjoy working from home rather than get rid of the people who aren't working anywhere.
Right.
It seems to me if this is a move to do a surreptitious layoff, again, it's a pretty ham-handed way of going about it.
Well, here's another email that I wanted to read before we get to your calls. Peter writes, I'm a scientist working at a large tech firm in the Valley. Personally, I used to work from home 1 or 2 days a week, and I found my productivity those days was astronomical. Then I found that my boss, who worked from home quite a bit himself, was saying bad things about me behind my back, saying I was, quote, working from home, wink, wink. So I stopped working from home. Taking care of the kids in a two-earner home became proportionally more difficult. Productivity went down, but perceived productivity went up. Sad to say, but that's what really matters. I think there's a change in the culture around here. Working from home, blue jeans and sandals, and even hoodies in the office, those sort of things say results matter more than perception. When innovation becomes less and less prized and perception becomes reality, you get well-dressed clock punchers instead. Way to go, Yahoo. Joan Williams?
Yeah, actually, there's been a very recent series of studies on something called the flexibility stigma. This is a perfect example of the flexibility stigma, where the assumption is that if you're working in a traditional way and taking no time off and your you-know-what is on your chair, then you're productive. And the assumption is if you even so much as take family leave, especially for fathers, that you're unproductive and uncommitted. This is a very strong automatic assumption. It's a very strong stigma, and it's not related to reality. It's related to perception.
And you still hear women saying that, you know, if they're doing part-time or if they're working at home and so forth, it is literally a stigma.
It is literally – well, now we've measured it. Experimental social psychology has measured it. It's a very strong stigma. For men, actually, it's related to the perception that if you're taking leave or on a flexible schedule that you're more feminine than other men.
All right, we're going to go to your calls here, but first some comments from our Facebook page. Nathan says, we have no meeting Wednesdays where I work and many of us decide to stay home. Having an uninterrupted day where you can really focus on heart problems is nice. It's also a good opportunity to step back and reevaluate what you're working on. And Kathleen writes, my SiliconValley.com company does not, unfortunately, have a policy that encourages or supports telecommuting. I think it's more of a cultural shift that has yet to happen than past experience where employees abuse the policy. Many of us hope that telecommuting will become an option for those with positions that allow it. I personally would not want to work from home 5 days a week, but 2 days a week would make all the difference in the world given my 2-plus-hour daily commute, 2 small kids, attending doctor appointments or school events, etc. And Colleen says, I've worked from home for tech companies full-time since 1997. I can do my job 80% remotely and travel to prospect sites as needed to demonstrate software. I would think long and hard about a job where I had to be in the office every day. If someone has a difficult time ignoring home-based distractions, it would be clear very quickly by his or her productivity. And we'll go to your calls now. We begin with Jake. Good morning, Jake.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I have a consulting company in the Bay Area called Above Labs, and we basically started around this idea of having telecommuting baked into our process. And it's actually been great for us. I think that it probably depends on the industry, but for us, one of the key benefits that we have seen from it is that we're able to hire people from all over the country to be able to work for us on projects that are predominantly based in the Bay Area. And just given the gap in being able to find enough developers that are of a high level locally, that's actually been a great service to our customers. And they were able to tap into pools of resources that they wouldn't be able to get to otherwise if they're only looking locally.
Shane Mack, what's your response to that call?
So I totally agree that you can actually invest the time to run a remote company. And like everyone said, and Kara Swisher said, the management of remote takes a lot of time and you have to invest in it and put time into it. And if that's where you like set your culture and what you believe in, I think it's very doable. And like they say that from the, when they started, they said, we're a remote company, we're going to hire remotely. And they probably spent a lot of time on tools and resources to make those communication channels and remote teams feel connected.
So a lot of this boils down, let me go back to you, if I may, Professor Roberts, the culture, the corporate culture, or the business culture of the company?
Well, I risk losing my economist license when I say this, but culture is the biggest thing in any organization. If you get the culture right, everything else follows. And it may be that what Mrs. Mayer is doing is trying to change the culture at Yahoo.
It would appear,
but,
yes.
But I think the point that several people have made, that it depends very much on the business and the particular company and the particular business model and the industry you're in, whether you want people there or you want them where they'll be most productive and most happy.
Joe Williams, John Challenger, who's head of outpatient executive number of firms, actually, was quoted in the New York Times as saying that in terms of management, companies are fearful of losing control when they do something like this, when they pull out the stopper and change the culture.
They're definitely fearful of losing control. And actually, it was Hewlett-Packard that named the process of management by walking around. And I really take a little bit of issue with my friend Shane here. I don't think it's necessarily true that managing remote people takes more time. I do think it takes some thought and takes some careful thinking through, and that's been done actually long since 20 years ago. But you do have to, in a very deliberate way, set up interactions and check-in points. I also think it's really important. This is really a moment where the assumptions of Silicon Valley sort of come into play. And the talk about Apple is a good example. Is the fact that in the model of a Silicon Valley go-getter, someone who is in their mid-20s and lives basically at the campus, is that what drives innovation in Silicon Valley? I think we really have to ask that question. I think it's very important. I think Shane is right that some moments you need some workers who are there and are interacting. I don't think anybody is contesting that. But Yahoo is a complex company, and it's not an issue of whether telecommuting is suitable for a company. It's really an issue of whether telecommuting properly managed is suitable for an individual job, and whether that means telecommuting for 5 days a week, which is a big step, or telecommuting for 1 or 2 days a week, which is extremely widespread.
Let's go to more of your calls, and we go next to Noreen. Welcome to the program, Noreen. Hi.
Hi. I had two quick comments. So first of all, I wanted to say if this is speculation of Ms. Mayer getting rid of people, or laying off what she calls as the unproductive folks, I think that's not a very strategic way of going. I think she needs to be upfront and face the issues with the organization. But my second point that I wanted to bring up is I'm part of a very global organization. My team is spread out throughout Latin America, EMEA, and Asia, and most of us work remotely, and we have over time been rated one of the most productive groups within our team and our organization within the organization. So I feel like the problem isn't about people working remotely and productivity. I think the problem is about management. And I think if these teams are properly managed and you see sort of a gap in productivity and if management is able to go ahead and fix that issue, then there is no issue. So just those two comments.
All right. I thank you for those comments. And again, we get back to management with those comments. Let me get back to some more of our callers. And let's hear from Nora, who's joining us from Silicon Valley. Nora, hi.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I've been a manager of software engineers probably the last 15 years in the Silicon Valley. And the first thing I would say about working from home is our opinion always was it's a privilege, not a right. And you earn your way to work from home by being as productive and accessible, et cetera. And it's not just a euphemism for I'm going to take care of my 4 children or my aging mother, et cetera. You know, you are around. And the other point I wanted to make was when it's not managed well, it really goes downhill. So, for example, I've talked to several new hires, you know, the best and the brightest from our colleges that join companies like a Yahoo, and they're very unhappy in the first year because when they do go into the office, they don't meet anyone. The office is like a ghost town, and they don't feel they're getting the apprenticeship that they would like in software engineering, and they end up leaving to find a company that has work from home but it's better managed.
What about this idea that this is a privilege? I think, Shane Maggie, you were kind of nodding your head when you heard that.
Yeah, you know, it's...
I'm sorry. I was just going to get a comment here in studio, Nora. Hold on a second.
You know, it's interesting to me. If I was to tell my dad that I was in a studio right now talking about the fact that we're asking people to come into work, he would tell me I was crazy, right? He's a Midwestern guy. He's a blue-collared man working 30 years. And I think sometimes we forget that, you know, this is a new type of culture that's trying to be created. There are a lot of benefits, but we're sitting here talking about asking people to come into work, which is different than they, you know, had before, and it's a different culture shift or whatever. But it's not like we're talking, would this be the same conversation if we just said, actually, we're going to, you know, have layoffs and let all these people go. And if you don't want to come in, then find a new job. Like,
a lot of companies do.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's I'm sure you would concede, Professor Williams, the sort of approach that's often done, more even maybe ham-fisted.
The analogy that springs to my mind is that during the 2008 recession, a lot of law firms simply abolished part-time. Not surprisingly, shortly thereafter, the number of women partners, which is pretty paltry anyway, actually fell. I think that there are some unintended consequences of decisions like this. And yet, you know, I want to jump back in with something that you brought up and we haven't returned to, which is we spent the 45 minutes now talking about Marissa Meyer's mistakes. And I just want to put a little plug in to say I'm not an insider by any means, but I hear that in many ways she's really doing a fabulous job. And it's an extremely
The stock has gone up.
It's extremely difficult situation. I mean, she took on a real mountain, and she's getting a lot of positive press as well. And again, I think it's a little troubling with someone of her potential and who's done, in some ways, an amazing job for the time that she's at Yahoo, that all anybody's talking about is what she's doing wrong.
Well, maybe the sexual politics in this comes down to the fact that people have different expectations and objectify women in terms of ideological or viewpoints that are political?
It's so complicated. I mean, the assumption is that if you're a woman, you're going to do things that are beneficial to all women,
exactly.
And that will be one of your highest priorities. Mm-hmm. I actually, that's what, I mean, my life work has been to do that. And yet, I think it's really important to say loud and clear that if a woman doesn't have that as one of her highest priorities, that makes her kind of like most men. And she has every right to, I mean, women should be as diverse as men should. And we should look at what she's doing right, as well as the fact that, I mean, you know, she's the one who said, I'm not a girl at Google, I'm a geek at Google. And it's very,
they used to say,
eloquent.
In fact, women leaders were, I'm sorry, Sean, you were going to add something?
I just wanted to go along with what Joan said. I think it's been incredible and inspiring to watch her and all the great press that's come out about her. And, you know, she's going to have hard decisions along the way, and she's going to have some things she does right and some things she may get wrong. And for me, this conversation about this moment in time and this one issue that came up is just a bigger pool of, like, this isn't really to me about work life. It's about company, no company. And it's about taking in Yahoo, which is a pretty legendary brand and kind of symbolizes what this valley and, you know, area is. And not becoming Alta Vista and Lycos and Ask Jeeves and all the other things that don't even exist.
Why, Ask Jeeves. Haven't heard that in ages. Let me get another caller on here. That's Manish. Manish, join us.
Hi there. I'm a software professional working in Bay Area for the last 15 years, and I completely agree with Marissa. I don't work for Yahoo, but I've been in many companies. She's under a lot of pressure to clean up Yahoo. And I mean, if you look at the productivity of Yahoo employees per person, I was reading some data. It's way, way below industry standards. I think she's doing the right thing. By doing this thing, maybe she'll lose some good people, and that's completely okay. But I mean to say, she has to clean up Yahoo. She has to let people go who are taking advantage of this policy and are not actually productive.
Okay, and Professor Roberts, your response to what Manish has put forward here?
Well, I agree that Yahoo is a troubled company and certainly needs to change, and it's quite possible that they ought to be getting rid of some of the people that are there who aren't performing. It's just not clear to me that this is a very good way to sort out which are the poor performers.
We'll go to more calls, and we'll have Bob join us from Palo Alto. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Michael. I believe Ms. Meyer, which, by the way, is the correct pronunciation,
yes, Marissa Meyer,
is entirely correct about this. The point your guests are missing is, in a high-tech, especially software-driven company, employees need to be together for the work to go efficiently. Imagine some software people in a room, and one of them types something in his code, and he all of a sudden says, wow, that'll never work. I see the problem now. Everyone else in the room says, what'll never work? And he tells them, and it fans out to them, and they communicate it to other people and other people and other people. Now imagine those people all sitting at home. It just isn't the same, okay? The technical part is the easy bit. The communication is the hard bit. And Ms. Meyer understands that. And that's what it's all about. If you don't have that, you can't be a successful software company, and that's the kind of company they are. Okay, so I think she's doing a fantastic job, and she's absolutely right about this.
Thank you for the call, Joan Williams.
Well, first of all, not every job at Yahoo is that kind of job.
Correct.
Secondly, if 60% of Americans believe that telecommuting is part of their ideal work situation, you're going to pay a very high price if you say nobody can telecommute for any reason. And secondly, the memo itself was really interesting, and that reference, that sort of weird reference to the cable guy, which you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Again, you go back to this assumption that the ideal worker in Silicon Valley is someone in their mid-20s who's living on the campus. And, you know, there are a lot of – I have kids in their mid-20s. I love people in their mid-20s. Don't get me wrong. But that is not the only source of talent in the U.S. workforce. And
because we keep hearing about how the millennials have a different work ethic too.
And yeah. Well,
an email that says it's like herding cats for that generation. I don't know if that's apt, but
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't really buy that. I do think that a real challenge for her is creating a different company culture, and actually, clearly, better management. But one question I would raise is. This is not great publicity here, what we're doing. And there are a lot of very unhappy people. So I really sincerely hope that all the negatives from this decision, which are loud and clear, are outweighed by the positives.
Well, since you mentioned publicity, I'm interested in, Shay Mack, let's get your thoughts about this. I didn't indicate it earlier that a lot of the ideas behind telecommuting and having more and more employees telecommute is you diminish the carbon footprint. You diminish gridlock. You have more people staying at home. They don't have to be out there, you know, fighting from Tracy or wherever they're commuting to Silicon Valley. And these are real advantages that come out of telecommuting.
Yeah. I don't think anyone here is arguing that there's benefits to telecommuting or that you can manage it properly if you have the right systems in place. I think the thing about the memo and the way it sounded when it came out is that it was kind of a hard stop. And I think the thing with Yahoo, it just sounded like it was there will be no more of this, and you need to come in and kind of no exceptions. And I think that's kind of the tone and the reason that there's been such a backlash to what was said.
Yeah, the language, as we said earlier with Kara, was probably inadvisable.
Yeah.
And not very apt language either. But I'm talking about public relations here, which Joan mentioned. That is the idea that a company plays, especially a big company like Yahoo, a certain corporate citizenship role. And I don't know, you have some thoughts to offer on this, John Roberts, just in terms of how a company can be hurt by a decision like this when people say, well, Yahoo maybe doesn't care enough about diminishing the gridlock that's out there or lessening the carbon footprint?
That seems to me to be really kind of second order. I think the issue is much more between the company and its employees, both current and future, than it is. I don't think anyone's going to drop AOL mail drop Yahoo mail because they think that Yahoo adds to pollution.
Let me read some more emails. Peter in San Carlos says, what's fair is fair. If I can no longer work from home, then I'm not going to bring my work home with me anymore. I'll stop thinking about work in the evening, and any inventions I come up with in the shower, those are now mine, and I will not be transferring patent rights to my company. Deal? Okay, let's get some more thoughts from you, our listeners. And this is just a thought. A listener writes, I don't make any friends amongst my peers by wondering this aloud, and I value incredibly my partial telecommute and get to be equally involved in my kids' day as my spouse. But down the road, I wonder if this could lead to taking the reality of caring for kids more seriously, provisioning childcare at work, pre-K school, shuttling back and forth, funding school in general. Maybe it's a first step in taking a gender assumption off the table and an ultimate step toward equality. Joan Williams, nodding your head, yeah.
Well, I mean, as I've said before in this program, the United States has the most family-hostile public policy in the entire developed world, and that is a key reason why Americans have sharply higher levels of work-family conflict, men actually even higher than women. So I couldn't agree more with the emailer.
And I want to get another call in. This is Shilpa. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I work for a cool startup in Palo Alto called Gluco, and my management is super supportive of telecommuting, and I've seen that they've noticed that my productivity has increased as well. But my question is there any data to show that if you take more than 2 days off, your productivity actually declines versus just taking 1 day to work from home?
I know we have to say goodbye to Professor Roberts. Can you quickly comment on that, John Roberts?
Well, productivity depends a lot on the kind of job and how well you can measure performance and things like that. In our experiment, people were working from home 4 days a week and were 25% more productive.
Okay. And John Roberts, thank you so much for joining us. I know you have to get to a class, so I appreciate your being with us. And we'll go to a caller in New Orleans. Ronnie, you're on. Hi.
Hi. I'm a telecommuter, and a lot of what I do, I couldn't do in the office. I'd say 85% of what I do is training, implementation, on-site analysis. But when I am in the office, I get a lot of flack for it, and I'm perceived as someone who is a bit of a slacker because I'm never in the office.
And that's the stigma again that Joan Williams was talking about before, and thank you for calling us. Julie writes, great show. I've been in both kinds of companies. I have to say that not having to attend meetings that aren't well thought out, birthday parties and other fluff events is a huge plus, as I value my time and my productivity. Tony writes, my company has a very mature WFH work-from-home program that includes supplies and furniture for a comfortable, effective remote workplace. Since joining the company, I've been able to move from Sunnyvale to Lake County and buy a beautiful home for a quarter of what it would cost me in the Bay Area and have a quality of life I could never have afforded if not for the creativity and flexibility of my employer. I travel frequently to the Bay Area in non-commute hours, and I'm in the office several times a month, and I'm able to interact with my colleagues when necessary. While certain business cultures may in fact benefit from personal interaction, Mayer's draconian decree will undoubtedly alienate good employees. And Craig says, my company uses agile management of technology projects, which has one of its highest values as co-location of workers to foster innovation and collaboration. At the same time, we are instituting RO, which is a results-only work environment that allows people to work whatever hours they deem necessary and wherever they deem necessary to get their job done. If this means they need to be in the office to advance their career and meet their goals, then they will do that, but it does not prescribe any specific hours or place of work. By the way, my company is a large retail clothing firm and not necessarily a high-tech company, yet we have embraced these values. And we'll let it conclude there because we've actually come to the end of the program. Let me extend thanks to all of you who have been with us. Kara Swisher, who was with us earlier, co-executive editor of All Things Digital, Shane Mack here in studio, director of products with Zarly. And Joan Williams, distinguished professor of law and founding director of the Center for Work-Life Law at the University of California Hastings College of Law, and Professor John Roberts, John H. Scully, professor of economics, strategic management, and international business at Stanford, emeritus professor. Thank you, our listeners, because we wouldn't be here without you. We appreciate your being with us. You can continue this discussion online by going to kqed.org/forum and click on this segment. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell and Irene DeGucci, Tina Lauerberg. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, with online support from David Mark. Senior editor is Dan Zoll. Executive producer, Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.